You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. In my conversation just now with the political junkie Ken Rudin, you heard a reference to the influence that Latina voters, especially in California and Nevada, might have. Mindy Romero is joining me to focus more on this group of voters. Mindy is the executive director and founder of the California Civic Engagement Project, which is based at USC's Sacramento campus. Hi, Mindy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
When you hear record numbers in registration and early voting, do you immediately think that must be a tap into voters who are, let's say, non-white overall?
Yes, generally it is. When we see registration go up, we're registering the population that isn't registered, and that is overwhelmingly of color, Latino and Asian American.
How about young voters?
It also, the non-registered voter population is disproportionately young. So when we register more people, it also means we're registering more young people. As a matter of fact, though, we've actually crunched some of the numbers in terms of the latest registration rates. So that 19.6 million is huge.
In California.
Is a record in terms of total numbers. But, of course, the population is always growing, too. So you really have to look at registration rate, which is the percentage of those who are eligible to register. What does that look like? So the Secretary of State has reported that we're at 78%. Which is absolutely huge to be going into a midterm with. But disparities still remain, and this would be expected, but we should note. So for Latinos, the registration rate right now currently is 67%. For young people, it's age 18 to 24, it's 59%. So we still have disparities. We're still going into an election with, for instance, young people, 40% of them not registered to vote. But there is one difference, though, in this election, since you mentioned registration, I have to say this. Now we have something called conditional voter registration in California, or same-day voter registration. So even though we've passed the official deadline and our reported registration is locked in, these are our rates formally that we have, you can still register. It's a little bit more difficult. You can't just go online, and if you go online and you register, it's not going to count for this election. But you can go to any elections office, and if you're in a Voters Choice Act county like Sacramento or Nevada, you can go to any vote center, and you can conditionally both register and vote. So it's not too late to get registered.
You need some paperwork with you, though, right?
Yes. You need to. So it's conditional. So they will verify that later to make sure that it was appropriate that you were registering and that your vote counts. But you are able to register and to vote.
Can I take you back to 2016 so we have some comparison? We're talking about, if we just focus on the Latino voter block, what was 2016? And does that emphasize how big the gap or the jump is now going into tomorrow in 2018?
Sure. So, 2016 was, generally speaking, if we're looking at the United States, the turnout was about 61%. It was about flat with 2012, which might surprise some people because for many, this was a very consequential election, right, 2 years ago. The Latino vote was 48%. We're talking about of eligible voters, citizen voting age. So there was a significant gap. There always is. The turnout rate for Latinos was about flat over 2012. In California, we saw a little bit better year for Latinos, and that showed up in their share of the vote, which was the highest ever that we've seen. But we didn't see huge numbers.
No huge surge.
Yeah, and we didn't see a huge surge for the population as a whole, again, despite what I think maybe some common perceptions were around the election. And now going into the midterm, of course, turnout rates for everyone are always lower, number one. They usually don't approach anywhere near a presidential. This year, I think we will have a good year for turnout, but it'll be within that context of what's possible for a midterm. And then disparities across groups by race, ethnicity, age, pretty much you name it, are always greater in a midterm. So the gap between, so let's say, whites and Latinos is also greater in a midterm, and it's more challenging generally for voters of color and for young people to get out and vote and to impact an election. Although, again, and I think you just had this conversation, there's a lot to indicate in this election that we probably will see a good year overall, and I think a good representation for Latinos and And our latest research shows that Latinas will be a significant factor in that, and certainly in the now 7 congressional districts in California that are hotly contested, but also hotly watched. We know that Latinos as a whole make up really large proportions of voters and eligible voters in those districts, 3 of them almost around 30%. And Latinas specifically, because they vote in much larger or they vote in larger percentages than Latinos and Latino men, they are actually driving the vote. So if we're talking about there's the story of disparity, which is constant for the Latino vote. But there is also the story where we see women are voting more than men. That's true as a whole in the United States, but Latinas particularly are voting more than Latinos. And when we're talking about the battle for control of Congress, as you were just talking about, not going to win the House without going through California, and you're not going to win those 7 districts without mobilizing and reaching out in a significant way to the Latino community, and you have to do it through also Latinas because they're driving many of the changes, the growth that we see in terms of the Latino vote as a whole, and they're also a large section or larger proportion of the Latino vote in all of those districts. Does that make sense?
It does, but add to this the narrative that's going on right now from the president. The visuals of the caravan, the discussion of the caravan, the pictures of military forces being mobilized, the stories we had earlier this year of families being stopped and divided at the borders. How much... I mean, it would seem obvious that that's going to play heavily in the motivation to vote, to make your presence count in this country. How heavily do you see that as a factor that maybe is distinctive to this year, a spike this year, but maybe not overall indicative?
Oh, that's a really great question. So first off, I think certainly, as we call it, the Trump factor and everything, the rhetoric and everything that, as you just laid out around that, is definitely a concern and a factor specifically with the Latino vote, but in 2 ways. So it's individual Latinos and in their communities, you know, hearing this and being concerned and also living the policies of the Trump administration. That's a big difference from 2016. There was concern around a potential Trump presidency for many in the Latino community, but now people are living those policies, right? But then there's also very much a factor of the leadership in the Latino community, the nonprofit, nonpartisan groups that do outreach and mobilization. So it's the work that they do, right, that activates and mobilizes the Latino community. And so it's really up to them in terms of how much they're able to do. And there is a lot of good work out there. But I will note that, again, this year, this is just always the case. Amount of investment, the money, right, the resources that go into mobilizing the Latino community are always far less than it should be. And there's always this lost opportunity. So even as we see growing Latino voters in terms of numbers, even as when we see bumps and increased turnout, there's still many, many more Latinos that could be mobilized. And they're not. And we hear just recently from Latino Decisions and Aleo, a tracking poll again, showing that 62% of registered Latinas say said that they received no contact or had not been contacted by a campaign candidate or any other organization regarding the election. And a little bit less for men, for Latino men. But really high numbers, and those numbers are similar in California, a little different, but similar. So there is how people are feeling about the election. And by the way, this goes for other groups as well, young people, women, any group that we're talking about in this election, and we're saying they could potentially make a difference or come out in bigger numbers. There's how groups are feeling, but then they need to be activated and mobilized. They actually have to be, you can have these concerns, and you can actually be paying more attention to the election, and you could actually be saying that you want to vote, and all those numbers have been increasing. But we still have to actually reach out to them and help them become voters and activate them into being voters. And that's the thing that I think that we often forget, and we set these expectations for groups. But it really comes down to how good are the get out the vote efforts, the mobilization efforts to help people actually get out and participate.
Which is why as a group, this voting group, men and women, is still considered untapped in terms of its potential.
Yes. But again, they are voting. There are disparities. And that's what's actually significant in the growth of the Latino vote, particularly here in California. In 2016, it was 22% of all voters, even with disparities, even with these differences in turnout rates. Latinos are still having an impact. We don't want to lose that in the narrative. They are having a significant impact. Again, we'll have an impact in these congressional district races, certainly. But there's so much more of an impact compared to their numbers that they could be having, right, to their proportions of the population. And it really is an investment and a mobilization story. Young people also report not getting very much outreach and education and mobilization in elections.
Mindy, there's so much data here. We're going to link all three reports, and I'll recite the title of the reports in case one of them or all of them pique your interest. They are The Strength of the Latino Vote, Current and Future Impact on the U.S. Political Landscape. The second report is Midterm Elections, Latino Vote Hotspots. And this recent report is titled The Strength of the Latina Vote, the Women's Vote, Gender Differences in Latino Voting Participation. I think there's a whole hour we could do on this.
I think so.
But we're going to get so much more information after tomorrow.
We will. And as Ken said, you know, we really don't know what that, we can't predict those numbers. It really is now a ground game, and it has been in California for a little while. I think there's a lot to, a lot of expectations out there, and a lot of it is about managing those expectations. I think we'll see a good turnout, but how good is yet to be seen.
All right, Mindy, that begs a follow-up, and we will have it sometime in the future. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Mindy Romero is director and founder of the California Civic Engagement Project. Those links will be at capradio.org/insight, and this is Insight on Cap Radio.